FM. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community to prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com, or you can click on the Steiner Show banner, and the information will be there as well. And we are now turning our sights, as some of the world is, onto Yemen, but not enough, I think, in many ways. We are joined by Charles Schmitz, who was here a while ago talking about his experience at Guantanamo Bay as a Yemeni speaker. He is president of the American Institute for Yemeni Studies and a professor of geography at Taos University. And the number here is 410-319-8888. And Charles Schmitz, welcome. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Mark. Good to be with you.
So we are watching Libya, and everybody's watching with the bombing and strafing going on there and the no-fly zone being imposed. But things are bubbling all across Arab Muslim world at the moment. And Yemen is really in an uproar. And I want to get your perspective. I know you've been in touch with folks there. I know you've been following it very closely. So tell me, from your perspective, what politically is happening there at the moment?
It's a big turning moment for Yemen. It does appear that the president of 33 years is now on his way out. What exactly it means afterwards, it's not clear. When he's going to go is not exactly clear. At the moment, the situation is very tense. His right-hand man for a long time, the guy who was in charge of repressing his most dangerous enemies for years, broke away and declared that he's protecting the protesters, which is a bit like the wolf protecting the sheep. Much of the army has split off. It's not like Egypt, though. The military forces are quite divided. And so this morning there was conflicts in Hodeidah on the coast, and there was on the other coast in the south, in McCullough, there was conflict. And in Sana'a there are tanks that are opposed, opposite each other, ready to go. I don't think there's going to be a conflict like that. I think that the Ali Muhsin, who was the top general who broke away, I think he did so in kind of a designed coup. I think this is part of a plan to ease the president out. And I think that particularly the Saudis, who have a big interest in Yemen, have a lot to do with this in the sense that they would like to see a transition that they can control.
A lot of that, you raise some issues here I want to ask you about bit by bit, because Yemen is one of those countries that we've been watching explode. It has been allied in many ways with the United States of America in terms of the fight against al-Qaeda and some of the whole issue around terrorism. And it's on the southern border of Saudi Arabia, one of our most important allies in the region, which is an autocratic kingdom.
Yeah, that's some very good points. I mean, the relationship between Saudi Arabia and Yemen is like the relationship between Mexico and the United States.
Yes, I happen to be, this is a digression. I read an article the other week about how the Saudis were upset with all the Yemeni immigrants into Saudi Arabia. It's similar to what you hear some Americans say about Mexicans and Latin Americans.
Exactly. And the relationship is similar in the sense that Saudi Arabia is rich and the Yemeni are very poor. The difference is that there are many more Yemenis than there are Saudis. In other words, the population of Yemen is about 24 million, 23, 24 million, and the population of Saudi natives is like 15 or 16 million. The Saudis very much fear the Yemenis. They fear the Yemenis for two reasons, or for a number of reasons. One of them is that they fear Yemeni political thinking. They fear Yemen. They fear that Yemen's a republic, that they have elections, that they have a parliament, that they have a relatively free press. The press is being cracked down on right now, but in general, they have a fairly free press. Women are legally much more equal in Yemen than they are in Saudi Arabia. I mean, it's a republic. And so these ideals are dangerous to the Saudi kingdom, and they don't like it. That's one part. Another part is they fear Yemen imploding and the violence and poverty in Yemen spreading into the kingdom, into the Gulf countries. This is something they fear. And so the Saudis have kind of a mixed policy. It's a contradictory policy where they want a weak Yemen, but not one that falls apart. So they tend to, on the one hand, back the central government, and then on the other, back the opposition or create little diverse opposition groups. For example, they backed the Southern Socialists in 1994 against the central government. And so it's not good what they do for Yemen. They are not a good influence in Yemen, but they consider Yemen kind of their backyard. I mean, they don't really consider it a foreign country. They consider it sort of one of their provinces.
No, but you call it a republic, yet the president, Ali Abdullah Saleh, who may be leaving, being pushed out of office now that the country is split and people see him kind of falling apart, so they're abandoning ship. But you call it a republic, yet he was a dictator who pretty viciously repressed any opposition in that country.
No, that's not a...
Is that true?
That's not an accurate reflection.
Okay, go ahead.
President. It is a republic. A republic can have a dictator. I mean, a republic just means that you rule in the name of the people, whereas Saudi Arabia, they rule in the name of God. In Yemen, though, it's not a dictatorship like, Saddam Hussein or even like Hosni Mubarak, in the sense that Yemen is a country that has a whole lot of diverse regional local powers. And Yemen can't be ruled by a central state. This is part of the problem with U.S. foreign policy. The way you rule Yemen is by pulling together coalitions of lots of different people, lots of different groups. And this Ali Abdullah Saleh has done in kind of a unique way what he has been doing for the last 30 years, and he's a genius at it, really, is keeping everybody fighting amongst each other so that he can stay on top. The way you rule Yemen is being the top mediator. If you're the one in the middle that can pull together diverse fighting groups, then you become the ruler of Yemen. This is what he's done. It means he doesn't have command and control over the entire country. But no one, this is not part of Yemen's political structure. Yemen's political structure is very fluid in that sense. Violence, he's not, you don't have Gaddafi-style violence in Yemen. Often violence, you'll see groups that will be very heavily armed, and they'll come and they'll confront each other and they'll shoot at each other a little bit, but the objective is not a military one of destruction of the enemy, but rather one of opening gambit in what will be a negotiation. In other words, you just shoot a little bit to show that you have force, and then, you know, you begin a mediation process. There have been exceptions, of course. The war in the north that we recently saw was an exception, and the war in 94 was also an exception. But in general, it's not a dictatorship in that sense, no. And he's been elected. And the elections were fair in the sense that they didn't stuff ballots. Of course, the ruling party, you know, manipulates the press and has all the resources and whatnot. That's the way they win, by manipulating people rather than actually vote stuffing. But he, up until recently, he had a lot of electoral power. I think he would lose now. But before, he did have a lot of electoral power.
So why do you think that we respond to Yemen differently than we respond to Libya?
Oh, well, that's clear. It's because Ali Abdullah Saleh, the United States fears al-Qaeda. They have a tremendous fear of al-Qaeda. And they associate instability with a victory for al-Qaeda. And I was just wondering myself why they associate instability with bad things, because instability can be a good thing as well. And I think Yemen might be a case because the instability in Yemen may bring a much greater legitimacy and a much wider political participation to Yemen. That's what I'm hoping for. And there are signs that it can possibly happen. It kind of could go either way right now.
And Yemen is a very strategically placed country. I mean, it's right across from Somalia, yeah, and the Horn of Africa. I mean, it's in the Gulf. I mean, it's in a very strategic location.
Yeah. I mean, it neighbors the rich oil countries and Bab al-Mandab, where... which is the coast of Yemen, between it and the Horn of Africa, about 40% of the oil transported goes through there. So, it's very strategic for the flow of oil, yes.
So, clearly, Western interests aren't going to let it fall apart, if they can help it.
if they can help it. And I don't think Yemen will fall apart in that sense. People mistake the diversity of Yemen and its sort of fluid politics and its, you know, the the sort of low-level conflict that you see there with Somalia, and I don't think it's going to go to Somalia. Yemenis have a long tradition of a central state. They've had different states. It was divided, of course. But a Somali-style chaos broken into very small groups like that, I don't see it happening.
So when you just said the diversity of Yemen, I mean, I'd like to describe this for a minute because folks, you can join us here, by the way, at 410-319-8888. Charles Schmitz is with us. He is president of the American Institute for Yemeni Studies, professor of geography at Towson University, a country that is in an huge uproar, rebellion against the president and the state, happened on the heels of Tunisia, as Egypt did. What's happening in Bahrain, they're not absolutely overtly related, but they're not disconnected. And this is a very strategic piece of the world. And so we're trying to get a sense of what's going on there for all of us. 410-319-8888. As we talk to Charles Schmitz, he's president of the American Institute for Yemeni Studies and a professor of geography at Towson University, who first joined us when he wrote about his experiences as a Yemeni translator at Guantanamo. 410-319-8888 is the number here. And his relationship you built with some people, which is a fascinating story in itself. So when you talk about the diversity of Yemen, and it's let's talk about that a minute, only because to get a sense of what that country is. Here's a country that's hard against the Saudi Arabia to the north, Oman, on the Arabian Peninsula on the other side. But then across is Djibouti, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Somalia, Africa. Mm-hmm. And oil that goes through. So talk about this diversity and what this country of Yemen is.
It's diverse in that in some ways it's very diverse, in some ways it's not. It's 99% Arab and 99% Muslim. The diversity comes in, it has lots of regional powers. It has tribal powers. Tribes are very strong in some parts of the country, particularly in the north. They have all a diversity of political parties that run the gamut of the political spectrum. So you have communists, you have the socialists. The socialists ruled South Yemen for 20 years. They were a Soviet satellite state. You have in the north now, you have Islamist groups, you have the Muslim Brotherhood, you have Salafi groups, you have different sects. The north is Zaydi, parts of it Zaydi, and Zaydi has many different meanings. There are interpretations of Zaydiism in the south, Jafi and Sunni, and you have different religious groups down there. You have a great diversity of religion, politics, and local social organization in Yemen. And this makes sort of a unitary single state ruling over the whole thing very difficult.
So in the couple months we have left, I mean, this is very uncertain times. So nobody can really predict what could happen after the president leaves and who or what takes over.
Yeah, I know. That's very difficult. But up until very recently, it looked very good in the sense that the opposition, there was a rebellion in the north by groups that were allied with this guy al-Houthi, who he himself is a Zaydi scholar, but his alliance kind of spanned the religious spectrum. There were many groups that were behind him, not for religious reasons. They were rebelling against the treatment the government gave that region. And in the south, kind of the same thing. You had a whole bunch of people that were rebelling against treatment by the government. And they had split off, and the traditional Yemeni opposition had lost power because they had lost control of these groups. The recent events have brought all of them together. So for the first time, all of these very divergent and groups that have fought each other now have come together against the president. It was a very good thing in the sense that they could institutionalize some kind of alliance together, agree to disagree, but do so in institutional forms instead of fighting each other, which would be very good for Yemeni government.
Charles Schmitz, president of the American Institute for Yemeni Studies and professor of geography at Towson University. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to get this knowledge from you today for me and for our listeners.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And thank you all for tuning in and joining these conversations today here on the Mark Steiner Show. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Women's Health for every stage of a woman's life, offering compassionate care and comprehensive obstetric and gynecological services from routine exams to specialized pelvic surgery. More information is available at 1-800 1-800-492-5538 or www.umm.edu/Women's Center. Or you can go to steinershow.org and click on the University of Maryland Medical Center banner. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Cricket Aronson. We're engineered by Zachary Coleman. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Our interns today are Will Mason, Justin Green, and Reese Peek. To hear the show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear new additional interviews, and find information about our guests and their work, visit us at the web at steinershow.org. And for public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.